The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
It's going to be extremely difficult to make trades this year when you're talking about a 60-game schedule, 16 teams making the playoffs. When are we going to start actually seeing teams eliminated from that playoff bubble?
It's not that kind of season. I don't see a team trading a big-time influential arm unless they're getting the biggest haul ever, because it's a shortened season. Everybody's going to think they're in it.
My thing is, if you like country, cool. If you like rock, whatever, and all that. For me, the only thing I could ever really get into was R&B and rap, and that's just what I enjoy.
Well, on the text line, somebody said R&B is about breaking up. I thought R&B was about having sex.
It depends which R&B. Boyz II Men's R&B, right? Jodeci's R&B. There's two different things happening in those rooms. Boyz II Men is going to be crying for this chick to come back to him. Jodeci is going to be crying for the next three chicks to come in the room so they can do some explicit stuff.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Creighton and Jason Bradigan for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. See, it's like a regular Blitz show. We're talking about music and sex.
Par for the course.
And Jason was hating on everything early in the show, doing his best AJ impression.
Nice. Well played. Okay.
So it's...
I wonder how you were tying that
in. It's like a real Blitz show.
Oh.
So, listen, as Lamont said, we've talked more sports than he's used to hearing in this time slot.
Right.
But, you know, sports. And Jason did fill his AJ role, and you just heard the Blitz Rewind. Music and sex.
And I sang the gem of the day.
And
not
Jason
well.
Sang the gem of the day
not
just like
well.
AJ.
I didn't do well. I wouldn't say just like AJ. I didn't hold up, but I did my part. I gave it an old college try. And we'll be in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as well for the Blitz. You can call in today or those days, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. That gets you in on the phone line, gets you in on the text line. You can also tweet at PCreighton1, at Aaron is Blitz, and at Late Hitters as well. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Now, the way we'll do this for the rest of the show, we're going to work in a little bit of late hits here, is we'll go ask us anything here for the final hour of the show, especially if we're talking Astros leading into opening night tonight at Minute Maid Park, Astros and the Mariners. We'll get to anything you got to ask tonight about Astros and Mariners. 713-780-3776. And, of course, we'll let you go ask us anything here for the rest of the show. Now, if this was up to me, dude, every single year, not only am I doing it this year, but I'm trying to do it every single year. And that is, you know, we've heard, you know, everything going on with college football and how so many scheduling things are being changed. The smaller conferences are canceling the season or hoping to play in the spring. Your Power Five conferences are all trying to play in the fall, and with pretty much every conference saying we're only going to play in conference, it's left Notre Dame in an interesting bind, because as an independent, all the other conferences, well, you know, we're not going to play. And look, these are big games. You know, Notre Dame, USC, that's a big game every year. Well, Notre Dame is independent for football, but they're like aligned with the ACC for everything else. So the ACC is considering this scheduling model for this year that would have Notre Dame, like they could fill in all their games by playing an ACC team.
Right.
And in the process, make Notre Dame eligible for the ACC Conference Championship game, which means that there would be more than one team in the ACC worth giving a damn about. If I'm the ACC and I can somehow get Notre Dame, you know, the country's biggest independent football program, to be a part of my conference.
Even for a year.
Even for 1 year. I can't do it fast enough. They don't even have like their own network. They have their own TV deal with NBC. Like, they didn't have to go to ESPN and get like some kind of hokey network. They are the brand and all the money they come with and the traveling fans. I don't know if they're going to be allowed to travel this year, but you know, in every other year they can. I am approving them to be like an ACC honorary member, and I am giving them anything and everything, no matter what it takes, because if I can loop Notre Dame into the ACC for football, that is the biggest coup in college football.
Well, it's something the ACC has been trying to do for years. So this conversation has been going back for at least half a decade, I would assume, because you remember, what was it, about 4 or 5 years ago, all this talk arose about the super conferences. And at the time, SEC was going to try to get the 16 or 20 teams, ACC, 16 to 20 teams. And they were talking about all these teams that could add. And the first ones to really come to the forefront for the ACC was Notre Dame. So this is something they've been trying to do for quite some time. So you had mentioned that it's going to come down to giving them whatever they want. I would 50% agree with that. I would add the caveat, give them and Clemson whatever they want, because that would be Texas and Oklahoma.
Well, haven't they already given Clemson whatever?
Well, I'm talking about when you package in Notre Dame, that you're not pulling from the Clemson market, because those are your two horses. It would be Clemson, Notre Dame. Miami's falling off. Florida State's falling off. Virginia Tech's falling off. And most of the rest of the league, Boston College has fallen off for years. And most of the rest of the league, as you said, is just complete trash in how it relates to football.
It's Clemson and then like the All Cupcake Conference.
That's it. You're absolutely right. So if you can get Notre Dame in, like, who makes all the money in the Big 12? Texas and Oklahoma. That's what the ACC would be. It would be Clemson and Notre Dame. And as you said, I don't care how you allot it, as long as those two teams are taken care of in a similar method that Texas and Oklahoma are, because everyone else is just on for the ride at this point. This isn't the Bobby Bowden Florida State years any longer.
So here's the question. If you add, like, let's say they could add Notre Dame into the ACC, you'd have an uneven number of teams. Would you then look to poach another team? And look, Notre Dame is nowhere near the Atlantic coast.
Like, I've already told you for years.
Money doesn't matter. Yeah. Who's the other team that you want to poach to bring into the ACC?
You want a hint?
That's poachable.
You want a hint? I've thought about this for years. For years, when Clemson was talking about adding 2 to 4 teams, the first two teams were no-brainers for me. And obviously, you'll see for reasons that maybe I'm a little bit biased on this because I live in this city, Notre Dame and U of H. U of H has been wanting to get back into a Power 5 conference, get to a Power 5 conference ever since the day Baylor was chosen over them. When Tom Herman was here and they were trying so hard to get in the Power 5, it fell through. I'm like, why wouldn't the ACC that has no competition not invite the fourth largest city in America, that TV market, that money? I mean, you look at the SEC and the ACC footprint, they're very similar. So if the SEC can go up to South Carolina with the Gamecocks and come down to Texas with A&M, then why can't the ACC go up to South Carolina with Clemson and down to Texas with the University of Houston? U of H at this point, I have to feel that they don't give a damn what conference they're in as long as they're in a Power 5. So if you can get U of H and Notre Dame, add the Notre Dame fan base, the Houston market, now you make the ACC a closer player to what you see from the top Power 5 conference. It's still a long way to go.
See, it's weird because obviously UH is nowhere near the other ACC teams, but you're getting your footprint in one of the biggest high school football hotbeds
100%.
In the country. And you are going head-to-head.
How do you think U of H would like playing basketball in the ACC with Kelvin Sampson?
It'll take a couple of years, but look at what Kelvin Sampson has done for that team. They went from nondescript to American Conference.
Yeah, you want to raise some eyebrows? Let U of H basketball go into ACC and every year play Duke, North Carolina.
I think he would. You would see those kind of prospects going to U of H if they were playing in the ACC and they were on TV like that and playing in those conferences. And as you imagine, you're playing the ACC, you're playing Duke, you're playing North Carolina.
You think Duke and North Carolina would – I mean, they get their pick anyway, but to have a reason to be in that Houston market recruiting even farther?
And I don't think they have any issues with getting recruits just because of who, especially Duke. But, yeah, it definitely it creates a really interesting if UH could be in the ACC tagging along with Notre Dame.
Yep. You know,
I thought when the Big 12 was talking about expansion a couple of years ago, UH's best chance to get in was to partner with BYU because BYU has their own TV network, has their own money, has a huge following. They aren't necessarily good every year, but they're loaded.
Right.
And that matters. Ultimately, the 10 teams in the Big 12 decided we'd rather keep our money than, you know, pay two more teams to come in and hope that our revenues expand. We'll just try to keep everything and status quo, which I think ultimately will be the undoing of the Big 12. Because, like I said, they're Texas, Oklahoma, and nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know, Baylor's good every now and then. Nobody really cares.
Stu asked on Twitch, he says, what's the number, what's the under, over-under on how many teams are going to fold up by next year?
What, college teams?
Mm-hmm. Like their football
program. I saw something that said Wisconsin would lose $100 million if they don't play football. And that's something that you and I also talked about. If they don't play in the fall, how many schools are taking an absolute bath financially? How many of them are willing to, you know, you say risk it for the biscuit?
Mm-hmm.
How many schools would be willing to take the risk that, hey, you know what? We're not going to play in the fall. We're going to plan to play in the spring. We're going to take out this line of credit, or we're going to use this line of credit to carry us until we start playing football in the spring. And then if they don't play football in the spring, they are totally upside down.
No, it's a great question because I think the answer is going to be a lot of teams. I mean, we look at it even before this current thing. When did South Florida who closed their program some years ago or – UAB. UAB.
Yeah, UAB shut down and they
and
reopened.
And then they reopened. So,
and they won their conference.
Right, absolutely. So when you think about it, and ACC, SEC, if all these schools say, all right, we're playing an 11-game schedule, 10 of them conference game, then one other, you imagine that one other would be like we talked about Clemson and South Carolina having one of the longest played rivalries every year and how it looked like it was going to happen. Well, now the ACC is talking about a possible 11-game schedule with 10 being conference. That could open the way for you to keep that rivalry streak going on. Now, we talk about that, and I bring it up in this instance because if you're one of these small programs and you're not getting that payday to get massacred 45-0 by Alabama. Yes. I mean, they're losing. That's a ton of money.
That's their budget.
Yes. That's it. That's where it comes from. And if those games are off the table, Stu, you're absolutely right. I would bet a lot of schools would close down their programs.
And you see what schools are doing right now. Cincinnati dropped men's soccer. Mm-hmm. Just dropped the whole thing. Bowling Green cut baseball. Central Michigan dropped track and field. Akron cut cross country, golf, and tennis. Schools all over the country, the mid-sized schools, the small schools, they are cutting all the other programs, hoping to save football, hoping to make money there.
Mm.
And there's no guarantee, especially the smaller schools. I mean, kind of like minor league baseball. If you're a mid-major or a small conference team and you can't put any fans in the stadium and you can't sell tickets and parking and concessions and merchandise, how are you getting money? Especially if you can't go play Alabama and get $1 million to get your ass kicked. So it is a very dangerous situation for a lot of colleges right now. When you see Wisconsin could eat $100 million. All right, the latest on the threat to NFL training camp. Next.
Let's go out with a bang.
Here we go.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J. And right now, before we get back to the show, I want to tell you about somebody who is, we think, the world of, who has managed to change both my life and Jason's life.
Yeah, Dr. Ben Salento and the incredible staff out at Texas Sinus and Snoring, which is conveniently located right here on the north side of Houston. Over the past 20 years, I've had multiple surgeries to try to fix all my sinus pain. 2003, had a surgery, sinus surgery in Charlotte, North Carolina. 2017, balloon sinuplasty right here in Houston. Each time and all points in between, I would continuously get sinus infections reoccurring month after month after month. So you could imagine come 2019, I didn't think I'd ever get this problem fixed. Well, I met Dr. Ben Salento, went out to Texas Sinus and Snoring, took me down the hall at the state-of-the-art facilities, took a sinus CT scan, put the imaging on the big screen right there in the room, and Dr. Salento himself, not an intern or an assistant, but Dr. Salento explained in layman's terms, so for the first time, I completely understood what was going on with my sinuses. On the imaging, he showed me an infection that was so deeply rooted, a lot of past surgeons didn't feel confident performing that surgery. Dr. Salento told me that he's going to make it as if I was starting completely from scratch. All past issues done, get out all the infections. And that's exactly what he did. A week later, had the surgery. A couple days after that, back at work. And since that day, 8 months ago, haven't had a sinus headache, haven't had a sinus infection. I sleep better. I don't snore any longer. And when I wake up, I feel more refreshed because of that deeper, more relaxful sleep. It's the best decision I made. It's the best decision P. Creighton made. It'll be the best decision you made. So as Dr. Salento says, break the cycle and breathe. To find out more information or set up a consultation, go to Texas Sinus and Snoring. That's TexasSinusAndSnoring.com.
Or give them a call, 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. Now, earlier in the day, there was basically there was a threat that NFL training camp could get shut down if the league and the Players Association did not come to an agreement by Sunday. They had 48 hours, basically, to come up with an agreement on how the pandemic was going to affect player salaries, if the offseason was in danger of interruption. You know, the Chiefs and the Texans, they were expected to go to training camp this weekend, and, well, they didn't have an agreement, so there wasn't necessarily going to be a training camp. They had a deadline to account for a revenue shortfall, and they needed to get it. They needed to come to an agreement. Well, about an hour ago, they finally came to an agreement. League and the Players Association, they have not only come to an agreement, but they're also going to establish a fund and benefit to pay back benefits that were lost as a result of COVID-19 all the way up to 2023 and pay back all lost guaranteed money to the players. The players approved the deal 29-3 on their NFLPA Board of Representatives. 29-3, it approved. According to Adam Schefter, part of the deal is there is no impact on this year's salary cap. So this year's salary cap is still $198 million. There is a baseline for next year's cap that it cannot go lower than $175 million. It could be higher if their revenues are better than they expect for this season. But it cannot go lower than 175, and that the loss of revenue from this season would actually be spread out over the next 4 years. Like we were talking about earlier, how they would borrow from future caps to spread out the loss of this season.
So when the TV deals kick in, it helps covering that cost a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very similar to player signing bonus, to where, all right, you're getting $10 million signings bonus, but you got a five-year contract. We're going to spread out over 5 years, where $2 million hits our cap each year for the next 5 years.
And they expect the new TV contract is going to be super crazy buku bucks. And we've already seen baseball getting record contracts.
Mookie Betts.
During coronavirus. No, I mean like from the networks.
Oh, okay.
They're getting record money from the networks, new deals. Well, what do you think football's going to get? So there is a lot of optimism, clearly, in the NFL that the new TV contracts are going to be holy cow stupid money, and they are going to be able to flatten out this deficit over the course of 4 years. So essentially teams won't take big hits. Now, they might take a $23 million hit next year, but that would be the maximum.
Well, here's what's interesting, because there's numerous people that's written articles about this as far as what players could be getting cut. Vet players that could be getting cut from teams that you wouldn't typically expect. But as you look at their allotment of cash and what their dead money is, or lack of dead money is over 2020, 2021, in the future.
There's a guy here.
There's a couple guys here.
No,
here,
but there's one really big guy here.
Yeah, and we'll just go right into it. With J.J. Watt, you're looking at $15.5 million for 2020, zero dead money. $17.5 million for 2021, zero dead money. And there was a time where a three-time defensive player of the year, you would never think about trading or moving him. But now J.J. Watt, what you think about with Watt is that three out of the last 4 years, he's failed to play half of the games in a season. That's a 75% fail rate. And there's $15.5 million this year and $17.5 million next year, $33 million you could get off your books by trading this guy and try to recoup some of those draft picks you lost in the Laremy Tunsil trade, just all these different trades that Bill O'Brien has been making. You can start getting back some of those picks. They have no first or second rounder in 2021's draft. So when you're looking at that and you've got these guys, you're like, all right, we've got to pay Deshaun Watson. We just paid Laremy Tunsil. Guys, let's put our heads together. What way can we save money to pay Deshaun Watson? Let's say $40 million a year. We got to pay that. And we've just allocated all this money for Laremy Tunsil's contract that pays him $4 million more than any other offensive tackle in the NFL. That's a lot of future investments. And the most important one being that quarterback. So when you look at J.J. Watt, this isn't the three-time defensive player of the year you're talking about trading to recoup some of those draft picks and save $33 million on your salary cap for the next 2 years. This is the guy that's missed over half of his games three out of the last 4 years. And yes, I believe we have to open our minds to the thought that J.J. may wear another jersey in the NFL.
Well, they can't get out of Whitney Mercer's contract.
Not at all. They're looking at J.J. Watt, Will Fuller, and you'd have to trade Will Fuller to free up that $10 million with no debt. Kenny Stills, you can save $7 million. Angelo Blackson, if you move on from him, you can save $4 million. Cineo Kelemente, you could save $2
million. After this season, they can walk away from David Johnson for basically nothing.
Yeah, after the year, right. You're just saving, I think it's like $2 million dead with, what, $11 or $12 million savings?
Yeah, and that's whether or not that $2 million actually belongs to the Texans or it belongs to the Cardinals.
Yeah, let's just assume it belongs to the Texans with OB Dillon.
Because, you know, where you look at where that guaranteed money came from. But let's say, you know, worst case scenario, it costs them $2 million to say goodbye to David Johnson if he doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And otherwise it's $8 million to keep him. I got a feeling they're going to pay him $2 million for
it. Hour and a half, Astro season starts. By the time we come back from break, Rockets are playing basketball. Yes, it's not the regular season. That starts a week from tonight against Dallas.
And I know that yesterday you wanted to ask certain things about baseball. We're going to get to it next.
Of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. Late hits version of The Blitz. We'll be with you through Wednesday.
I'm working on a burp. I'll try to have it out at 6:57 or before.
Yeah, Jason's chugging a Dr. Pepper. That way he could try to get an AJ burp out. Sometimes AJ gets the burp out like in the first 90 seconds of the show.
Well, you know, Fred calls out the time, so just be ready to call it out. Don't drop the ball when I get one.
And I guess I have to say something like, I would love for like a three-boobed hot alien to come and molest me or something. That's par for like every Fred show.
You know, I've been watching a lot of history lately. I've always been enamored by history and all that. And I was watching all this stuff, and I know Fred loves the ancient alien stuff. And I was sitting, and I meant to text him, like, after I watched this. Like, I was watching the one special, you know, about World War II and all that, and it talked about all the dates. And then I'm like, wait a second. I start doing all my math, and I'm looking up all these alien dates and how they coincide with different things. Like, Roswell was literally a year and a half or 2 years after we dropped the two atomic bombs. I'm like, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, less than 2 years. I mean, I don't know where these aliens live, man. How long did it take? They might have took them a year and a half to get
to the nuclear
explosion.
Yeah,
they're like, wait, what are these idiots doing on Earth? Let's go. Wait, they just dropped two atomic bombs. We got to start monitoring it. And Roswell's like the biggest one, right, that most people know about.
Do you think they were born from the
explosion? Yeah, they're like, all right. So then I was watching something around, I think, like the Massachusetts area, like some big, like the whole city's talking about it 30 years later about this, or 50 years later about this alien visit where one guy was talking about he was abducted and all this different stuff. I don't know if butt stuff
he
happened
drank
or
too
not.
Much green beer.
But all of them, like, guy was adopted, and all the fan, you know, it's really interesting stuff. And then I hear the date, and I'm like, why does that date sound so familiar? And I go look when those aliens visited, and all those people saw him there in that Boston, Massachusetts area, wherever it was in this show. It was like something 1969. I'm like, 1969. I go look. The moon landing was literally 2 months before that, or a month and a half, 2 months. Again, that's my conspiracy theory. All these different things, like, man. Who the hell is this landing on our moon? Aliens come to Earth.
Look, it's just...
Who the hell's dropping these bombs? Aliens come to Earth.
It's just the Men in Black.
Maybe so.
You know, I mean, we know that the New York's World Fair, well, those are alien ships. So, clearly, you know, we have aliens.
Nice. I believe it. I believe it. I mean, you just look at how big the universe is, you know. Again, my brother's a Star Trek nerd, so he's put me on that. Like, he always grew up with, I always hated it. Last couple of years, he's kind of got me into it, just based off of how, like, technology they used, and they were the first to use it at the time. And
I don't know if Fred's big into Star Trek, but I know he's big into Delta women. Is it bald?
Oh, Fred would. I don't even think it has to be an attractive alien at this time, and it may not have to be female. I think Fred would just bang the first alien he saw.
Do you think Fred would be okay, hot female, but she has tentacles?
Now, explain tentacles. Like, just off the top of the head, or are these tentacles? Like, if they're in the human groin regions where the tentacles are, I would have a hard time adjusting to
Let's
that. I think Fred would too.
That, you know, hot human-style body, except instead of having normal legs, there's, like, tentacles.
Instead of legs, tentacles.
So the insertion point is fine, but the legs she'd have, instead of having two legs, she'd have like six.
Well, did you ever watch Mars Attack?
Yeah, a zillion years ago.
All right. Well, all of the aliens on Mars Attacks are little people, right? Like, could you get down with that? Because a lot of little people got big asses. So I like, if I wasn't married, I'm just saying.
Jason's hooked up with Bridget the Midget before.
Hey, I might toss a little person. I might get it on if I was single. I mean, if you're one of those little people that's like proportionately off.
And
like,
by the way, that reason I said that name is because there's actually a porn star and that's her name.
Really? All right. Well, these little people are short And then it's like all the added weight goes to the caboose. And I'm like, I mean, I'm just saying, if I was single, nobody's getting hurt. Hey, I would. Yeah.
So you don't care. As long as you've got a big ass, you're good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
See, and you wonder why people are surprised when they see you.
Do you know how sexy a big ass is?
No, Jason. I've never seen a big ass before.
Oh, see, that's what you're missing.
Maybe I should get my glasses adjusted. I mean, I've just never seen one in my life.
Mm, that's weird. Well, welcome to the South. You'll see a lot more of them here. We eat good down here.
We do eat well down here. I'll say that.
Nice. And it goes to the ass.
I was concerned when I first moved down here. I'm like, where am I going to get pizza? Where am I going to get Italian?
Really?
You're, where am I going to get
Chinese? Don't be that
food?
Guy. Don't be so snooty.
And
Chinese food? Like, is New York the Mecca of Chinese food?
It's really good. That being said, I have found various places down here where the Chinese food's phenomenal.
Have you been able to get any lately? Because I'm real picky on Chinese food, and there's a place on Sawdust in the Woodlands. I think it's called the Berlin Wall, the Great Wall. I think that is something like that. I don't know. Something with Asian culture. And anyway, the food is amazing there. It's freaking amazing. But, you know, all the buffets are closed, and I just like where I can go in, get a to-go plate of the buffet, and you can't get that nowhere. So I haven't eaten Chinese food in 4 or 5 months.
Understand, when I first moved down here, I didn't know what barbecue was.
Oh, I just burped, and I did it off air. Oh, 6:39
p.m., and Jason's now acknowledging.
I'm not suited for this. I'm not suited for the Blitz.
I didn't know what barbecue was, because in New York we had Famous Dave's, and it's awful.
What is Famous Dave's?
It's a chain barbecue place where you sit down like a regular restaurant, you have a menu, and they bring you a bunch of fatty meat. It's not impressive.
All right, we got a couple minutes
to have left. To have barbecue like we have here is totally out. I also wasn't expecting Mexican food to be any good, because when I first moved down here, to me, Mexican food was Taco Bell. Like, we didn't have. And there you go, 6:40, and he forces a burp out.
It's too weak. I tried to force it. That's on me. I got to do better.
What Mexican food is down here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, I love Mexican food.
Oh yeah.
I thought Mexican food would kill me, like all greasy. And
well,
spicy.
I grew up in South Carolina. I thought Mexican food was Taco Bell, and then Mexican I got here, and I'm like, holy hell, this is why people always talk about how much they love Mexican
phenomenal.
Food.
Oh my gosh, I love Mexican food, dude. I can eat Mexican food all the time.
Do you mix food with sex?
That sounds kind of weird.
No, but you know, like some people like, oh, let me get the chocolate syrup, put it on it. I don't have the appetite for it.
What have I? Have you ever licked chocolate syrup off of someone?
Well, you know, you mix food with sex. You know, some people get turned on at just the air. And are you a food sexy?
Experimented with it in college?
No.
Other than a banana?
I don't know what you do with your time and bananas.
I see people, they're always talking about, I like mixing food with sex, and I just never did. It's like either I want to eat or I want to have sex. I've never wanted to combine the two.
Usually I want to eat after I have sex.
Not during.
I didn't address that. What I said was, I like to eat after you've had sex. I'm hungry. I was like, all right, I got to refuel.
Okay. All right. Before we get the last segment, let me knock off some things that I wanted to do, because it's a.
Are we just carrying this to the last segment? To the last segment at this point.
What are we carrying?
He's going to want to ask me a bunch of like baseball prediction stuff. Do we have enough time to do this?
Yeah, we'll have time.
Okay, go ahead.
Now or last segment?
I said now. We got time. Go.
All right. Let's go. All right. So I just, you know, we've got the baseball guru in here. It's your Christmas. The porn accounts are finally getting shut down and sports accounts opening back up for Pete Creighton. So listen.
By the way, Mets beat the Braves today.
1-0.
1-0. A barn burner.
Let's do some quick ones here. Do you want, we'll finish off with that one. Win total. 8 wins. Will any Major League Baseball starter hit 8 or more wins this year?
Hit 8, I think we might get.
No mics. I need you to go into the crystal ball. We need the predictions. These are gamblers, listen. They're gonna bet their hard-earned money.
8 wins. Yes, Cy Young this year will get 8 wins.
Cy Young will?
The pitcher who wins Cy Young will get 8 wins.
I doubt Cy Young gets 8 wins. I'm going to take the under on Cy Young. All right, most home runs this year by a player, will it be in the 20s?
20 homers in 60 games, but that's a hell of a start.
Well, we've had players, and granted, they've been...
Let's say yes.
They've been the...
I'm going to say yes. Somebody's going to hit 20.
I'm going to take that with you because we've seen players that have had 18 homers in a month.
It's the ball is juiced. The players are juiced.
Great point.
20 homers.
And pitching's behind. All right. Top batting average. Over, under 350.
I'm going to go over 350.
I like that as well. Cody Bellinger in his first 60 games last year hit 373. And I think if 7 or 8 or 9 years ago, Chipper Jones would have been the last player to bat over 400 in the first 60 games. All right, before we hit the break.
You know who's going to be healthy from the start of
Jose
the season?
Jose Altuve. Yeah, Altuve's my – I should have looked for props to see who's got the highest odds to hit 400. But I like Altuve there. World Series prediction before we get out of here. Your Astros start their season in a little over an hour. Rockets underway right now against the Raptors as they prepare to start their season a week from today. World Series matchup and champion.
I'm going to go with the team that I think is the best team in the National League, which sadly is the Dodgers. They're just stacked. Especially for a National League team, they're really stacked. I think the Dodgers are going to – I think the Dodgers probably get back.
Nailed it, 644.
And I also think the best thing about it is that the Dodgers and all their whiny, bitchy, sissy fans are going to have to take it on the chin yet again from the Houston Astros.
Well, that's where they prefer to take it.
Sometimes they take it on their tramp stamp.
All right, last segment of the day on the Blitz, send you into your Friday. UFC, Major League Baseball, Astros start their season in a little over an hour. Rockets playing the Raptors right now. Sports are back, baby, and late hits in for the Blitz. We'll finish off today, and we'll be back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday right here for the Blitz.
Stupid stuff. I seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz. And I believe it's time for some stupid stuff.
Stupid stuff.
We said this week.
What about the Packers?
What do they even do?
You know what they do.
Well, I think.
So the system didn't save the right one. Hold on.
Yeah. Stupid stuff.
We said
this week.
And it didn't rain barely at all at my place. 59. Well, there we go. We got the damn sound on. Jeez.
It's Monday,
that's what happened was when you get here and you're like rushed to get everything set up. I was watching some videos earlier, and so I didn't have the sound muted.
What kind of videos?
Just some sports stuff.
Sure.
Okay. For something I'm working on.
Okay.
But, yeah, man, it's the middle of the day. I'm not going to watch porn. No, apparently. Boy, that was quick. 404 right off the bat.
Thank you.
Interesting. And the Hispanic actor that I got confused was Jimmy Smits,
so
not
racist.
Raul Julia. So, yes, I'm...
It's just Raul Julia. He goes with a hard J.
Well, he doesn't go with hard anything these days because he's dead.
Well, that's true. I think rigor mortis makes you actually...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll tell you who's not dead. A32 says there's black bears in East Texas. I caught one on my game camera just south, 10 miles south of Koontz. That's a little too close to my place. I don't want bears on my land, so...
I'm also... I like bears, but I just don't want bears around me.
No, you know where I want to see them? In the zoo. In their natural habitat.
Anthony knows a little bit about OnlyFans. Hello, Anthony.
Antonio.
Hey, hello. Sports.
Sports to you. Sports and OnlyFans.
Man.
All right.
Yeah, I think he melted down there.
Well...
Sometimes people get on there and it's like,
Holy bleep.
They get that deer in the headlights.
Either that or his wife was asking, hey, what are you doing in the bathroom? Why'd you just up and run? And why do I hear you talking to someone?
Only fans. No, it's Jake from State Farm. Yeah. what are you wearing, Jake?
I'm just talking to the Blitz about sports. Not OnlyFans. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, the bullpen's a little bit more of a question mark right now because Osuna's still not throwing. And
well, he's not in game shape.
He's long tossing.
He's in round shape.
If I'm MLB, I am not going... 526.
Thank you.
Can you do that during one of your takes one time? That would be really cool.
I'm always talking, then.
Well, then just interrupt yourself instead of me for once.
Then the guy was like, mother effer. And then he shoved his whole hand down his throat and made himself vomit all over the stage. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, those, whoa. They do some weird stuff. And
this dude's hardcore.
All right.
Hey, August 15th, Trump is going to throw out the first pitch at the Yankees game.
Really?
He's never done it.
It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be the best first pitch.
The first pitch?
Bitch.
Don't talk about
it. Nah. Hey, I like Melania. Stop it.
Rand Holland on Twitch wanted to know what you put in your Topo Chico a couple breaks ago. He said it looked like you put something in there.
Oh, Alpha Brain.
Okay.
My secret weapon. I forgot that people are watching me on Twitch. They're watching my every move. Now people know my secrets, how I'm so full of belches and brilliance. That's the secret.
I mean, you could have just had Flavor Enhancer and kept it a secret.
I could have. Also, tell that guy on Twitch to mind his own business and stop being such a cop. It could have been anything. It could have been ecstasy. All right.
Although I do think Belching and Brilliant sounds like a perfect name for your comedy album.
For my podcast.
Long tossing is one of those phrases that I always thought would make a great euphemism for masturbation. But
I think you have to have a certain build to consider it long tossing.
Yeah. Stupid stuff.
And that is stupid stuff. There were at least two burps in there.
There were two, but I catalog and get and go and capture the audio every time he does.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all.
I think this year at the end of the year, I'm going to put together just one giant file of every burp for an entire year of shows and see what happens.
All right. And that'll be the New Year's Eve special. Out with 2020. Nice.
We're going to burp our way into 2021.
Somebody's like, hey, I'm visiting Houston. Let's see what they've got on their sports talk on the holidays. And then they just cut it 97.5, and it's just like 4 hours or 3 hours of burping. That's going to be awesome.
I don't think it's that long because luckily, I mean, each burp is only what, like 0.4 seconds? So.
All right. How many shows a year? All right, you're probably not going to get to 3 hours.
It'll probably be
40 minutes.
My guess is under 6 minutes.
Wow, that's short?
Yeah.
He burps a lot. I don't know, man. All right, you doing any DraftKings tonight to celebrate the Astros coming back?
Negative.
Creighton, you've got yours in?
I got mine in. I'm gonna pick a beef with one of our listeners.
Okay.
And it's Chewy.
Oh, why?
Because he's griping about baseball already. He's griping.
Uh-oh. What's wrong with baseball?
Complaining Mets, Braves,
let's go,
pitcher's
Sean.
Duel was a dud. So let me get this straight. When we get a lot of runs and the game takes 3 hours and 53 minutes, you bitch that the game's too long. We get 1-0, we get a pitcher's duel, 2 hours, 25 minutes. The game was a dud. You're what's wrong with America, Chewy. You're a bad person. You don't appreciate the glory of baseball. And the glory of the Metropolitans and the glory of the Braves losing. You don't appreciate those things. You're going to go, what you're going to do right now, you're going to go stand in the corner, you're going to face the wall, you're going to say 10 Our Fathers, 50 Hail Marys, and 20 Glory Bees, and then you're going to go watch baseball for the rest of the day and no One Punch Man until Monday. You got that? Good. Appreciate my man Aaron Raybould on the other side of the glass. Jason and I in for Fred and AJ Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. We'll be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.